chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The word foundation in the Greek speaks to have something and to lay it out. In other words, before God spoke this world into existence, our salvation was already planned in eternity.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday, everyone. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Chosen in Him, from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. So now, let's listen in.
Matter of fact, what does it tell us in 1 John 4:17? The Bible tells us, it says, as He is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, present tense, right this minute, so are we right now in this world. That's an amazing scripture. See, that's when I say that this passages that we're covering is so incredibly deep. I mean, you can ponder them and ponder them and still not get everything. Does that make sense? Now, as we begin this difficult area we're going to enter into now, I want you to note three things. First of all, that we're getting ready to see the Trinity in the scriptures. Now, we're only going to go to verse 6 in our study this morning, but I want you to note that in verses 4 through 6, and you can just glance there, now it's going to be the selection of the Father. In other words, God planned the church in eternity. In verses 7 through 12, it's going to be the sacrifice of the Son. He purchased and paid for the church, let's put it that way. And then in verses 13 through 14, you're going to see the seal of the Spirit. And so He, the Spirit, protects the church. And then I want you to notice one other thing, that after each of those verses, it says there's a description of a phrase that says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And there'll be more on that later. But let's look now at this verse 4 this morning. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Just as He, that is God, chose us in Him, meaning Jesus, and He tells us when that occurred, before creation ever happened. Now listen carefully. I don't know, and I have pondered till, you can ponder some things so much in eternity that you kind of, you need to go get counseling. Does that make sense? I don't know the divine counsel of God, what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit did in eternity before there was anything but God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. But there was some type of divine counsel. The Bible tells us in Peter that Jesus was foreordained or slain before the foundation of the world. Amen? So if you, however that fits and however that all comes together, there was some divine counsel, divine mind. There was some agreement about the creation of man, and that Jesus said, I'll pay for the sin of the world before there was sin. Are you with me? Now, that's enough to blow anybody away, isn't it? Yeah. And so we study all this out, and we find here that God chose you in Him, meaning in Christ Jesus. The word chosen means He picked you out. He selected you, but it's deeper than that. He picked you out for Himself. Isn't that incredible? God says, I want you. Somebody says, well, no, I chose the Lord. I say, oh, you did not. I didn't choose Jesus. Did you want Jesus before you were born again? No, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You were the natural man. You couldn't receive or welcome spiritual things. No, Jesus said in John 15:16, He said, oh, you didn't choose me, but I did choose you. And I appointed you that you would go forth and bring forth fruit, amen? Called to my purposes and my plans and so forth. So, see, when you think about this, you were not chosen in time. Does that affect you at all? You were not chosen when you were on this planet because there was no planet. You were chosen in eternity. Oh, I go and I think, that's too deep, Lord. That's too much for me. No, listen. And then why were we chosen? Well, we were chosen to be in him to fulfill God's plans and God's purposes in our generation, in every generation of every person. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who saved us, called us with a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, but we're called according to his own purpose, God's purpose, and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The word foundation in the Greek speaks to have something and to lay it out or to throw it out. In other words, before God spoke this world into existence, before creation, our salvation was already planned in eternity. Before the sun, first sunset, first sunrise, man, unbelievable. And God chose you before you were ever born. God chose you before you ever chose him. He chose you before you ever prayed like I did on that beach, Jesus be the Lord of my life. He chose you before you ever were put into the watery grave of baptism and so forth. So this means something. Since we are chosen in him, it means we belong to God before time began. And we will belong to God when there is no more time. It means that you're, when God in his heart, in eternity, we don't understand eternity because eternity is forever. There's no time. We live in time. I can't live in tomorrow. I can only live today. But where God is, there is no time. None at all. There's no clocks. It's eternity. So however long eternity is, which is forever, you have always been there with God. He has always known you. He has always had you before anything else was created in his heart and in his mind. As you've heard me say many times, your name is eternal as God. Now, that blows me away. And I have to be the first to say, I don't know that I can grasp all of those things. But I know that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, that wonderful Trinity, had an incredible purpose for all of us. Look at it in verse 4 again. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, we can take that scripture two ways. Man, I've got to get holy and I've got to get without blame or be without blame. Well, first of all, the word holy means absolutely perfectly holy, totally and completely set apart for God, his will, a holy vessel, okay? To be without blame means that you have to be absolutely faultless. The word actually means without blemish. And it's used, remember, in Peter when it says that the Son of God, he was without blemish, remember? The precious blood of Jesus and so forth, and he was the Lamb of God. Same word. Well, you can't be obligated to that because you can't make yourself holy or faultless. Okay, so that clears everything up. You were chosen in the one who is holy, the one who is blameless, and now because you've been justified before the eyes of God, declared innocent, you now have the spotless, flawless, perfect, holy record of Jesus Christ put to your account. Amen? That's why we can claim that for ourselves. But what I really want you to look at those words are the words before him. Okay? Look at that with me in your scripture. Before him, and I want to read what a Greek scholar says those words mean. He says, before him is the searching gaze of God into our innermost being. Now, it's not a critical gaze, but a satisfied gaze as he sees the reflection of the holiness and spotlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ in the saint. Why? How did that happen? It says, before him in love. God says, when I see you in my son, because I chose you to be in him. Amen? Boy, what a great word that is. Now, I know that our practice, loved one, boy, we fall short on that. But our position, that God has placed us in before the foundation of the world can never change. It is a divine fact. Not only that, I'd like to include verse 4 a little bit with verse 5 and use the word in love, the agape of God, his unconditional, unmerited favor toward you and me, the love that never changes. He says, in love, God did something. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, the word predestined is a word that divides the church today as it has through the centuries. But predestination, loved one, or the word predestined, is a beautiful word. It really is. But man, pastors and churches, and I mean, I'm not judging right this minute. Hey, to each his own. I just study the Bible, okay? You know, predestined is not an ugly word. They have made that such an ugly word. And many teach that predestination, when we come to that word, it means that somewhere in eternity, before the creation of the world, it means that God, who is sovereign, chose some to be saved and some to be lost. They teach that God, before time began, before the person was ever born, he ordained their future and ordered their eternal destiny. And they have no free will. They were not even born. They don't have a choice, and did so not on the basis of their behavior, because they had not yet done anything good or anything bad. That is a sad way to look at that beautiful word. Do you know that? Yeah, listen, this word, you know, doesn't mean that God marks out, and that's what the word predestined means, to select, mark out, and so forth, beforehand, a person, and say, you know what, this person can never be saved. The earth is not created yet, but I know you're going to be born because I know everything, and there's no way that you can be saved. Matter of fact, you can't even be saved because, even if you want to be saved, because I have predestined you to go to hell. Ooh, that kind of teaching, it really drives me crazy, okay? Now listen, the thing about it that we have to find out is, when God uses that word predestined, what is he talking about? Well, in the Bible, the word predestination is not such an object of predestination as it is a certain destination. Let me give you the definition of that. He says, the matter to be considered when the word is used is not who are the objects of this predestination, but what they are predestined to. What are we predestined to from the scripture earlier that I read? The adoption of sons. Amen? Now, how can that be a bad word? That's a glorious thing, loved one. And not only that, we're predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, right? God, who began a good work in you, will complete it to the very day of Christ. He's not going to stop. We're being conformed into Christ's likeness by the Holy Spirit that works in the life of the believer. So when we look at this word predestined here that's used in Scripture, God didn't predestine anybody to hell. That's not in there at all. But like I said, as a matter of fact, predestined, you go through the Bible, do you know it is never used as a reference to unsaved people? Never. Not once. Think about that. It is used only for saved people, only for the people that are saved. God says, I chose you, and you know what? I'm going to use you, and I'm going to do this with you. If a person is lost, it's because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't want him. Amen? Yeah. Listen, you know, I know that I've talked about this over the years, but the thing is that God desires, you know it and I know it, all people to be saved. Amen? I mean, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who would ever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 45:22, you look to me, be saved, says God. All you ends of the earth, meaning everybody, I'm God, there is no other. Ezekiel 33:11, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from their way and live. 1 Timothy 2:4, God who desires all men to be saved. How much more do you need? God who desires all men to be saved. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9, God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't predestine anyone to hell. He wants everybody saved. Amen? What did John write? He said in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." So that answers all that question. There's no, you can search cover to cover. There is absolutely no true Bible theology that teaches that God wants people to go to hell. Matter of fact, Matthew 25:41 tells us that hell was created for the devil and his. It didn't say it was created for us. No, not for man. So with all that being said, we have to realize that, you know, God doesn't do that. Predestination, man has a goal. And let me read it to you. It says in Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew," there in eternity past, before the world was ever made, "he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Now look at verse 5. "Having predestined," there's that word again, marked out, determined beforehand. And what was it for? "For us, for the adoption of sons," or as sons, "by Jesus Christ," meaning his work on the cross, "to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." So why did God do any of what he did? He just wanted to. Is that okay? That was his delight. That was his joy. He is God. He can do whatever he wants to. So we were predestined not only to be conformed into his image, going from glory to glory, but also as the adoption of sons. We're the sons and the daughters of God. The word adoption in the Bible is literally talks about leaving one family and going into another family. We have been delivered, rescued out of the family of Adam, and we will never be in the family of Adam again. Ever. We belong to Almighty God. Now, let me look at just Ephesians 1:6. Oh, let me go ahead and give you another scripture. Romans 8:15. "For we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed the sons, the daughters of the living God." Now, verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace." Very important word. "By which he made us accepted," and there's that word "in" again, very important, "in the beloved." Now, who is the beloved? You see the capital B? Who is that? What a beautiful name for Jesus. Amen? The beloved. Remember how God cried out from heaven at the baptism of our Lord? Said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Amen? Oh, the word "beloved" there is the noun agapoia, or how you say it, not agape, but agapeo. I don't really know. It's in Greek, and I don't care right now. But it means agape, the son of his love, you follow me, and so forth. But now, when we look at this, what does it mean? It means that God, because he chose us before the foundation of the world in his Son, in Jesus, our Savior, it means that God accepts you exactly like he accepts Jesus. It means that God loves you exactly the same as he loves Jesus. Amen. Why? He's accepted you. Why? You're in the beloved. Do you understand whatever happened there with the counsels of God? You know, I mean, think about that. You know, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, it says, "You are the beloved of God." That is your eternal position, and it can never change unless you can find a way to get out of him, meaning Jesus. But you're in him. You are a new creation. You can't say, "Well, I don't want to be a new creation anymore." No more than you can say, "I'm born, now I don't want to be born." Do you follow me? You're born from above. The Bible says in John 17:22, Jesus said, "And the glory which you gave me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, loved me, and as you have loved them, rather, as you've loved me." Now here it comes. "Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, which have given unto me. For you loved me, Jesus says, before the foundation of the world. Listen, there's so much when you study these scriptures. For example, let me ask you a question, and this will be something that I cannot answer for you. But all of us has thought this. God, there you are, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and there's nothing else but you. And in that divine counsel, you knew everything that's going to happen. Amen? God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knew Jeremiah before he was ever born. Amen? He said, I called you before I ever formed you. Why do you think there in the divine counsel of God in eternity, before there was anything, God, they made the plan, they knew about the creation, they knew the devil was going to exist, they knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin in the garden. Does that blow you away? Have you ever said to God, well, Lord, why, if you knew that? Because when Adam sinned, look what it's caused. Look at the diseases and the suffering and the wars and the murders and the rapes and, amen? But did God do that? He can't. God cannot do evil. In him is no darkness. He never tempts man to sin. They're led away with their own desires and lust, and then they sin, amen? There's all those questions. You know, I mean, why is it that we opened the Bible with paradise, then we find paradise lost, and we traffic through the time, and we're not there yet, and we see at the end of the Bible, paradise regained. And I said, Lord, what was it all for? Why do I ask these questions to you? And you know what can only be determined? Matter of fact, if you will just look in your Bible, look right there with me, and we're going to finish this up, and I know I'm going slow, so please forgive me. But in verse 6, look what it says. To the praise of the glory of his what? Now look at verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of what? His glory. Look at verse 14. Where's that at? It says, at the very end, it says, to the praise of his what? His glory. Now let me read one more scripture to you. They're in heaven. And they're crying out in chapter 4 of Revelation. And they go, oh, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they go on, and then they say, here it comes. In verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. That's it. To the praise of his glory. Do you understand? Through this whole mess, whatever the plan might be, I don't know if you know it or not, but the world is going through an adventure right now, and they don't even know it. There's a day that is going to finally end, amen? And we're going to step out of time and step literally into eternity. But I'll tell you, the whole purpose of everything that God does is for one thing. He, and only he, deserves the glory, and no one else. Blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You were chosen in him. That is good enough for me. Father, I praise you and thank you for this day. I just thank you for healing me now for the next service. I thank you for blessing your people, oh Lord, and for encouraging your people this week. And Lord, may we praise you, because you indeed have chosen us in him, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We all say, amen.
Pastor Bill's study in Ephesians continues on our Monday broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Amen. Thank you, as always, for the privilege of your time. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.